Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
I know what you're thinking. We've finally run out of football, but as one door closes, another opens. And because we've come to the end of the Nations League, that means it's the resumption of the Allsvenskan, Sweden's top league. So I'm here in Stockholm today in what I'm reliably informed is the hottest midsummer in a while. A lot of people are out of Stockholm on midsummer jaunts, apparently, but it's busy enough outside the Tele2 Arena, which is the home of Hammarby, where they're resuming after their little international break. And the people are out in force.
Hey Andy, so what does it mean to be a Hammarby season ticket holder? Well,
now, I was hoping to catch up with Scottish journalist and Hammarby season ticket holder Lee Roden to tell me a bit more about his relationship with the club. But like everyone else in Stockholm this weekend, he was out of town. So this is a short message that Lee sent me on what it means to be a Hammarby season ticket holder.
But for me personally, it meant a way to feel like you fit in and that you're part of something bigger in a society which traditionally, I mean, it's not a secret to say this, that Swedish society can be one that's a little bit slow to allow newcomers in, and there's all kinds of long reasons for that. It can, you know, within the national psyche here is generally one where you sort of keep to yourself in general, not everywhere. And actually, I think that one of the exceptions to that is the sort of old-fashioned Södermalm or Söderort, Southern Stockholm mentality, which is, you know, this is traditionally a part of the city that was very working class, where a lot of the factories were, where the harbour and the Hammarby Hamnen was. And anyone who comes from an industrial city, be it Newcastle, Liverpool, Glasgow, like myself, will recognise a lot of the personality traits that persist in those kind of places, where you know, there's a lot of gallows humour and maybe a little bit more welcoming to newcomers. And I think Hammer Bay as a club has really succeeded in harnessing that traditional feeling that's linked to the part of town where they come from, really growing their fan base because of that. And there's a joke from fan bases of other clubs in Sweden who often say, oh yeah, the reason Hammer Bay sell out their stadium for virtually every game and more than sell out their season ticket allocation is because, you know, they have fans from northern Sweden or from Japan, but not from Stockholm. That's nonsense. Well, I mean, to state the obvious, I don't think there's many Japanese people coming to see Hammer Bay. I may be wrong. It's by far the case that when you stand at the standing section, where I stand in Hammer Bay Stadium, you get a mixture of everything. You get the old-fashioned comrade with the beret on who's smoking a funny-smelling cigarette. You get the hipster, new generation, Södermalm type. And you get, of course, people who've come from other parts of Stockholm or elsewhere in the world, like me, who have sort of tied up their identity, and becoming a Stockholmer has been linked to becoming a Hammarby fan. So I think for me that's the strongest part of it, and one of the really special things about this club. And it's also a very unifying force politically as well. I mean, in a lot of ways, for obvious reasons, which I just outlined, there's probably a slight left-leaning of the fan base of Hammarby, but that's not one that's stated outright either. I mean, it kind of doesn't really matter where you lie on that spectrum. You're allowed to be a Hammarby fan. And that's the beauty of it, I think. I think that's the strength. And I think if we're being honest, we'd all like our clubs to be like that. So that I would sum up what it means to be a Hammarby season ticket right there. It means to be part of something.
There you can hear a little bit of chanting for the visitors, Häcken, who are top of the table that stands at kickoff. So this is third versus first, and if Hammarby were to win, and they're going to need to pace themselves, because it's bloody hot, both teams, if Hammarby were to win, they would go top of the table. Sasha Ibrahl, a Bosnian football journalist who's been living in Stockholm for a decade, and some of you might remember he used to write for the Football Ramble website back in the day.
How old is the stadium?
Must be 7-8 years, right. I can check that.
So it still looks quite new.
Yeah, it's quite new. It's quite new. Even though it's used by both Hammarby and New Gordon, but it's kind of historic place for Hammarby because their old Söder stadium was just behind the corner.
Yeah.
So this is like a historic place for them, but it's used by Jurgen Gordon as well.
And you were saying you prefer it to the Friends Arena?
Yeah, I prefer it. It's much more cozier stadium than Friends Arena. It's smaller, that's one thing. So 30,000 people here is much more louder than in Friends. But the general feeling is much more friendly and much more cozier, as I said.
I have to be honest, I was expecting less people here because I spoke to a few people who will wait for midsummer, but
it's quite a good turnout, considering.
Considering it's the warmest day ever in Stockholm. Yeah, it is. I mean, Hammarby has it's quite a popular club here in Stockholm, especially in the last 20 years. I think their average attendance is more than 26,000, and right. I think they have like at least 18,000 season ticket holders, which right. is huge for Sweden. And this is like a usual day here at Tele2 Arena. It's nothing unusual to see the stadium full back.
Oh, here they go. Opportunity. So, Massara broke down the right. All he had to do was get the ball in the middle to Trawali, and he just couldn't find the pass. It was all on his own, Trawali, in the middle. Touchline, holding it up, flicking it over his shoulder, making the through pass, which wasn't quite right. You can kind of forgive him because the touch was so good, but it ended up not being a chance because of that. Now Hocken have got a little break. It just snuffed out.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So the team's out for the second half, and so are the fans, because on the side that we are, which will be the eastern side of the stadium, the sun's shining right on it. So everyone in the stand, the minute the half was over, went and sort of hid in the back bit by the bar, because it just needed 15-20 minutes off from the heat.
Sun actually goes.
You see, I don't know enough about science to understand how that works. I'm quite happy to sort of do the run around the press area to avoid it. So Häkkinen started the half better. Just had a free kick attempt on target. Few little incursions down the right as well. I don't know if people feel more energetic on that half of the pitch because it's the half of the pitch that's in shape, but that's where we've seen all the action from really in the game so far. Goal, Häkkinen. It was a really good counter attack. Smooth move. And eventually Alexander Jeremijev, who's been scoring all their goals this season. Easy little tap in the 6-yard box, but the move made it. Real quick movement of the ball. One touch, one touch, one touch. And the leaders are in the lead. It was a really good goal, wasn't it? Yeah, well, I guess it's fine to have respect for the away fans, but they are in the sunny bit. So just like enjoy your 5-minute break in the shade. Or 30-second break in the shade. 2-0. Break down the right hand side again. Henry not very decisive at the back. Jensen at the back post, simple tapping. And those 25 or maybe 30 fans from the travel from Gothenburg going absolutely crazy. As you can hear. And the whole Hammarby team have got together in the middle of the pitch and are having a bit of a let's sort this out pep talk. You've counted, there's 77.
Tried actually.
Yeah, I've got to tell you, it looks less than 77.
It does.
Very presentable chance for Anderson, who's just come on but couldn't get the shot to come back enough. And that's it really, that haven't worked the goalkeeper at all, Hammarby, as we go into what I think is the second cooling break of the half. And it looks like a lot of the supporters are joining in with the cooling break. Going inside to hide. Yeah.
goal back for Hammerby with standard 9 minutes left. Well, he deserved that. He's had a decent game. Corner that Rashid, the goalkeeper, totally misjudged. And he just had to nod it and it was in, basically. There might be a little bit of something in this game. That's the most inventive bit of time wasting I think I've ever seen. That could have taken 3 goes at taking kickoff. Bit of Blair Turgot encroachment on 2 occasions. It's bizarre. Can't get out of their half. Consternations, I missed 6 minutes of stoppage time for them to chase this winner, which they are most definitely doing. And for the leaders to hang on. More than one player has gone down with cramp out there. I think the referee should do the decent thing and really just blow the whistle, because it's a formality now that is going to end in the 2-2 draw. There's not really time for anyone else to create anything. Like, we've got 21 players standing up and one like lying off the pitch because he can't move. And there we are. So how typical was today of Hammerby home game? Very atmospheric.
After the game, I had a quick chat with TV4's Martin Pedersen, who told me where exactly Hammerby are at the moment.
But it felt pretty loud to me.
Yeah, it was. I would actually say that it was. It could have been better because at Hammarby games they usually make much more noise than today.
Was that right?
Yeah,
that's like 7 out of 10.
Yeah, so because Häcken, even though they're at the top of the table right now, they're not. Not as big of a club as if they Hammarby would have been playing against AIK or Djurgården or a derby here in Stockholm, for example, or a game against Malmö, Norrköping, Göteborg. That would have been an even more great atmosphere than today. And of course. Not creating so many chances or like big chances and 2-0 down in the second half, of course that affects the atmosphere as well. So this was not even close the best Hammarby game this season.
And of course the fact that it was so incredibly hot as well. I mean, that's the thing that I found amazing, that Hammarby found it in them to come back in the last 10 minutes when they'd already put so much into the game. How did they do it?
yeah, but like that's the thing with Hammarby, if they can be 2-0 down, 3-0 down, if they get a goal and just that kind of momentum and they get the crowd behind them, then it's very hard to play against Hammarby here at Tele2.
Well, obviously it's still quite an early stage in the season, Martin, but this was a huge match at the top of the table. What do you think the fans will have taken from this? Because of course this is a really passionately supported club that's only ever won the Allsvenskan once. Do people think they have a chance this season, or are they a bit more guarded? How are they about it?
I think that they think that they'll be at the top, maybe not getting the title, but close to it. And I would say like 3 or 4 games earlier in the season, they were. I think that they were looking at themselves and thinking that we're the favorites in some way, because they were at the top of the table, everything was going great. They were in the cup final. New coach Mati Cifuentes just won. And now the last periods, they had a couple of losses, a couple of draws, and yeah. Probably that has affected the supporters' view of the team right now. But I still think that they will be disappointed for sure if they don't end up in the top three. And
it was really interesting hearing Mati Cifuentes talk actually there, because he's quite detailed in terms of tactics, which you might say in a way is quite typical of Spanish coaching. But in terms of the way Swedish football is changing, what does that say to us? Or the way that Swedish club football is changing? Because our friend Sasha was saying to me during the game, when you know you've got the team sheet that they hand out before the game and you have the tactical setup of the players, he said, well, if this was 10 years ago, they'd both be playing 4-4-2, so there would be no point even printing it out, which made me laugh. But maybe he's got a point. How is Swedish football becoming more diverse in the way it's played and in the way that tactics are discussed, do you think?
Yeah, it's I think the last couple of years there's been a big discussion on like young coaches coming into Swedish football, and like nowadays you can't really know you can't say that in this league the teams are playing like this, because it's a big difference between mostly all of the teams, I would say, and it's very hard to
point out what's Swedish football right now or what's Allsvenskan right now in the way of playing. So that makes the games, it makes it fun. And I believe that for the coaches, the challenge is, it's another challenge for them coaching now compared to a couple of years ago, for sure.
Right, that's Hammarby done then. I'm off to Stockholm Central now to get on a long train south to our next stop, Malmö. See you for part two tomorrow.
Football Ramble Presents is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.